I'm glad to know this morning that God has given us great promises. And if we believe, we can know today that He is indeed all we need. I believe the Lord has done what He can to assure us that He wants to be all we need, and that He's able and capable of performing and working with us according to whatever need we may have. So thank the Lord this morning for that. I'm interested in studying some about an aspect of God, an aspect of maybe the Holy Spirit. We teach that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They are one, yet they have their offices, if you will, or places that they fill. But yet they're not separated, and yet they're distinct. And we teach the Lord sent back to us the Holy Spirit to indwell and to live in us, and also to empower us, and also to give gifts and to give talents and abilities, to be the leader and guide to regenerated man into all truth. I'd like to consider some of today the Holy Spirit. For this song they sang about He's all I need. Today we need the presence of God. If indeed He is everything, and we believe that, then we need Him in a very personal, a very real way. We need Him dwelling and reigning. We need to be able to have such close proximity with Him that we can hear His voice. That the Lord would be able to bless us in every circumstances that we encounter. So today I want us, in considering the work of the Holy Ghost, I want to mention and talk about the word comfort. Comfort is something that all of us many times in our life needs. Comfort takes on many aspects, and the need of it takes on many reasons. There are all manner of things in life that upset you and me. There are sicknesses. There are personal reasons. There are things in life that hurt us and bring tears to our eyes. There are mistakes that we make. There is sin that man commits. There are places in life where we feel a great need of someone or of God comforting us with something greater than just a word, something greater than just man's presence. I want us to think today of one of the great blessings of you and me having the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, living within us, that He is a comforter, that He comforts us in every distress, in every circumstance, with every question, with every need that arises, with our pains, our aches, our mistakes. So our need of the Holy Ghost, our need of the Spirit of God. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." He said, after the Comforter has come, He will lead you into all truth. There is a specific teaching in the Word of God that's replete all through the Bible, that the Lord is intent in dwelling in and not just among His people. That He wants my life and yours to be a temple, a tabernacle, a dwelling place upon this earth for the Spirit of God to live in. We don't want to minimize that teaching. We are a habitation of God through what? The Spirit. It is the Spirit that lives in the heart of regenerated man that makes you and me a tabernacle for God. That's a teaching that is so very necessary. It is so real in the Bible. And if we're not careful, We will minimize it. When I say we, people. People will leave it totally out. They'll diminish the power of the indwelling Spirit of God and make it something that happens at salvation, and there's not a distinct act of the Lord suddenly moving into His temple and cleansing it of the impurities of man and taking up His residence there as an abiding comforter. And as we use this word comfort from time to time, please consider comfort in the broadest spectrum of your understanding. Because the Lord wants to comfort us in every situation. He wants to comfort us with hope and with joy, with faith and trust. He wants to go before us, and He wants to be that great myriad of Ebenezer stones that we heard about. He wants to comfort us and bring to our remembrance. That's part of the duty and the work of the Holy Ghost, is to bring to our remembrance. So consider that this morning as we think about this word comfort. Because the picture will vary for every one of us today, perhaps. And it'll vary day by day. Brother Dan talked about a shaft that bearings may seize upon it. Talking about those kind of things, too. The perplexities of life. The complications of life. The decisions of life. The interactions of the human community in life. God wants to be that one that is our comforter, our sure, our leader, our answer, our consolation, our hope. All of those words are necessary if we're going to be comforted. Our salvation. He is our forgiver. He is our understander. He is the one who pities and is merciful to us. All of those bring comfort. And there's many more. In Job 14:1. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now, amen, huh? We got an amen out of that. Doesn't it seem that way sometimes? Have you ever noticed how trouble follows trouble? Have you ever noticed that you get the slate, you think pretty clean, and uh-oh, there's another trouble? You ever notice that? Man that is born of woman is a few days full of trouble. I think sometimes it does seem that way. I think sometimes it seems like that trouble and distress, questions and anxieties, perplexities, temptations is all there is. Well, I know it's not. But you know, Satan would love for you and me to come along and get a hold of this scripture and say, well, that's my lot in life. I'm glad God has got something better for those that love Him. I'm glad He's got Himself. I'm glad He's got more than just words on the paper, although they are very much the Word of God personified in Christ. But I'm glad God has got Himself for us. Himself at our... to come to our rescue, and to come to our comfort, to be our comfort this morning. I'd like to give us a little caution this morning. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. I want to tell you something. A trick of the enemy is to cause you and me to see trouble on every hand and distresses on every hand. If we're continually in that state of mind, and again, take this thought as far as it may apply to us. Satan comes along and likes to take those things and use them to kind of dislodge my trust in God or my faith in God or our hope in God, as if to say, what's the use? Paul told us what we ought to think on. He said, think on these things. And if we're not careful, and this is a human malady, I believe, that we get to thinking on troubles. And the answer is not in the flesh. So I find the Lord in His mercy came to be for us a very present help in the days of our trouble, in the days of our trials. Troubles can loom greater if we're not careful, can seem, I should say, to loom greater than all the promises of God. I'd like to read now in John 15, comfort, the comfort of the Holy Ghost. The comfort of the indwelling Christ is what we're wanting to make a point on today. John 15 and 5. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. So he speaks here of a relationship more than surface, more than just a knowledge, but he speaks here of Christ and us, the Christian, dwelling together. A relationship of being under the same roof. Okay? I in him, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. One of the things I find that's very frustrating in life is trying to find comfort, wisdom, hope, help, outside the dimensions of the Lord. And we struggle with that. And we get a hold to a problem. We get a hold to a complex to us situation. And the gears in our mind start whirling. That can be a very fertile mind for the devil, place for the devil to come in and plant all kind of thoughts. In our thinking, we can start thinking ill of someone else. We can start thinking less of the Lord. We can start pitying ourselves. God doesn't want us to dwell in that place very long at all. He's got something better for us. If without Him, we can do nothing. God wants to be a very present, real occupier of our life, so when the need of comfort comes along, we don't have to run to and fro. We don't have to search out our limited abilities. But praise the Lord, we have a resource. We have the very God of heaven who through His Spirit will reign and dwell in us to answer the perplexities of life, give us courage in the face of adversity, give us hope where there's fear, give us something better than our own reasoning and our own thinking. So He said, without me, Lord help us today to realize this, without Christ. I don't care how smart we are, how intellectual we may think we are, regardless of how long we've been here, without Jesus Christ, we can't do anything. Does that mean comfort? I believe it does. Does it mean rising above the pitfalls of life? I believe it does. Does that mean also being able to be forgiven to the point that we are comforted, that we are truly forgiven? Does it mean that we can bring every care, regardless of their need, and cast them on Him and be comforted in knowing He actually is interested in us and truly cares about our welfare? Let's have faith in God, folks. Let's have faith that God really does care about us, that our names are engraven on His hand, the palm of His hand. Others may forget, mothers may forget, but He said, I'll never forget. God wants to be that very present help for you and me when I need comfort, when I'm lonely, when I'm sad, when I'm angry, when things of life are more than I can bear. He doesn't want me to go off and trust in ourselves. He tells us, and we may read this in a moment, in 8th chapter of Romans, He said that the Spirit quickeneth, but the flesh profiteth nothing. There are messages for humans in the Bible that Lord, cause the light of your word to just burst on our sight. When He told you and me, the flesh profiteth nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. Put those two scriptures together and think about it. How much time do we spend discomforted because we're looking at our resources, at what we think, how we think it ought to be, trying to justify ourselves or trying to make some kind of atonement for something or trying to vindicate us when we're ourselves, trying to plead our own case, discomforted when we could be comforted? How much time do we spend trying to comfort ourselves? May I exhort us this morning? God has something better for us. God wants to be a very present help, someone right there, someone we can rely on, something we can depend on, something, a well, we may look at that later, a well that we can draw from, and not a well that we have to trudge miles and miles to go to. Not like the pool of Siloam where someone had to pick me up in my lameness and put me in. Someone had to help me, and the first one in got the blessing, and no one else got the blessing when the waters were not that kind of pool. But it's a well of water, the Bible said, very close, living, dwelling, and flowing out of us, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. We need sanctification. He said in Peter that we are sanctified, sanctification through the Spirit. We're set apart. We're possessed. We're sanctified, made holy, not just from committed transgressions, but from the nature we inherited by Adam, by the Holy Ghost. Sanctification through the Spirit of God. So without Him, we can do nothing. And John 6 and 63, we've already quoted this. John 6 and 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that makes life. It is the Spirit that brings to life, the Spirit of God, the presence of God. The flesh profiteth nothing. I believe we attributed that to Romans. But it's actually in John. The Spirit quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The Lord wants you and me to get a hold of that. An old song says, where could I go but to the Lord? May it dawn on us that God has got, He's a quickening Spirit for us. We can come to Him now for our comfort, our peace, and our joy. When you think about man's attempts to comfort himself, have you not found when the Spirit of the Lord, the Lord's not altogether in it, that generally it falls short of the goal you had in mind? But God is the God of all comfort, the God of all peace. Over in 2 Corinthians now, 1 and 3. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. In all of our tribulations, all those things that perplex us, all those things that bother us, remember today, without God, without Christ, we can do nothing. Heart sees you struggling, trying to understand and know and justify and rectify, to find comfort, to find appeasement, to find solace, that we recognize that our comfort is from the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulations. And in part, that causes then His light to shine out of us, that we then might be able to comfort others with the comfort we've been comforted with. Our comfort then is not of man, and it's not of self, but it is a testimony to the power of the indwelling Lord, who has taken up residency through His Spirit and reigns in the throne and on the throne of our heart. That becomes our testimony that, yes, I understand, and yes, I feel what you feel, and we have experiences to go right along with what you're talking about, but the God of all comfort came in and ministered to my hurt, ministered to my need, ministered to my questions, ministered to my embarrassments, ministered to my mistakes and to my failures. He comforted me in all my tribulations. And now we can tell others, it's not of man, lest any of us should boast. It's not of works. It's not of something that I got down and studied a book and became so psychologically wise that I was able to just perform things and overcome the tribulations of life. It's not that at all. It is a presence of the divine in our life. And he says that then we're able to go out and comfort others with the comfort we've been comforted in. You know, to me that is also saying something very evident. We need to be a first partaker of the fruit. Have you ever think about Job's comforters? I don't question those men's sincerity, but they weren't meeting the need. You read what they say, and by and large, it's pretty factual. Not exactly applied right, but it's pretty factual, pretty correct. You think about it. Job's comforters were, I believe, sincere. And I believe they had a high regard for God and for Job. And they were sympathetic to the plight Job was in. But their comfort could not meet the ache of Job's heart. God wants you and me to be able to draw from that well of living water. He wants to comfort us, not by men and their words per se, but by His presence in our life. The Lord wants to live in you, folks. He wants to live in me. He wants to be there to minister to us and to lead us and to guide us. And when He mentions the word all comfort, that encompasses everything. Everything you'll encounter. Every disappointment. Every feeling. Every place. May the Lord help us today to believe that, to trust in that, and to present our bodies, our lives, a living, holy sacrifice unto Him. And ask Him to come and dwell in us. Take our life and let it be consecrated to Him. Give Him our life in total. Submit our feelings, our thinking, and our ways. Submit our trials. Submit our ambitions, our homes, our families. Submit ourselves to Him that He may come and dwell in us. Sometimes I wonder if the lack of going on to perfection, I think I do more than think this, going on to perfection and receiving that power from on high is not the source of a lot of discomfort and a lot of discouragement. Because people find themselves forgiven, but yet they have not allowed the resources of heaven to come dwell in them. And they are still trying to handle life, at least in part, with their own resources. The Lord speaks to us in Hebrews about us going on to perfection, to the indwelling of God's Spirit in us. When you and I try to correct the discomforts of life by the flesh, there's going to be mistakes. It's going to be insufficient, and we're not going to obtain the goal that we're looking for. When you and I try to be our own source of comfort, will always fall short. Because it, without God, we can do absolutely nothing. You think about that. Over in Mark, the 6th chapter, and the 31st verse, Jesus looked on a great multitude of people, and He was moved with compassion. Thank God for that. Thank God is touched. That God is touched by the feelings of our infirmity. Do you know God knows all about us? He understands us. And He's touched and He feels for us. He sees our arrogance. I can do it myself. He sees that. Pray God, praise the Lord. He's compassionate on that. He's merciful. He's a Father of mercies. He sees our unwillingness sometimes to submit. He's merciful, and He comes back again. He sees us when we think we've got to take care of something. He sees that. He was moved with compassion about the great people. And the reason? Because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. That's what God sees when He sees man struggling. Oh, He sees our sin. He sees man's wrongs. No question about that. But He goes deeper than that. There's a compassion in Him, and He knows why. And He knows the reason. He knows that by and large, people are going about today as sheep, not having a shepherd. And folks, we weren't created that way. We weren't created not to have a shepherd. We were created to serve the Lord. We were created to be in close communion with God. We were created to be a very dependent person on God. We were created to draw our strengths from Him. We were created to be nourished by Him. We were created to walk with Him, be led by Him, be founded in Him, to receive our power from Him. We were not created at all to go about and wander and go about and lead our own lives and try to correct our own problems in life and comfort our own selves. And God created us to be very dependent on Him. So the Lord looked on the crowd and the multitude, and they were as sheep that didn't have a shepherd. Isaiah 53:6 said this, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray." I think we all have to say yes to that. And I know that probably that's dealing with sin only. But I'm thinking about this. Thinking about you and me. Thinking about us and how we handle sometimes adversity. All we like sheep have tried it on our own. All we like sheep have tried to justify things. All we like sheep have searched for comfort. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. How many times do we fail to go to the God of all comfort? How many times do we fail to truly trust Him? How many times do we carry the burden of discomfort far further than we ought to? How long do we tarry and wrestle with the discomforts and the disappointments and the problems of life when God has told us clearly many years ago, "Cast on me all your cares, for I care for you. I'm interested in you. I'm a God of power, wisdom, and might. And I want to give to you the healing your heart needs. I want to comfort Zion. I want to bless my people." And I fear for us, myself included, of course, that sometimes we try at our own charge to correct things. That we try to find comfort in sources that were not designed to be our comfort. God is to be our comforter, and He wants to live in us and be an ever-present help. And all we like sheep have gone astray. And the Lord has laid on Him the sin, the iniquity, I believe we could say the humanity of us all. The Lord wants to be our comforter today. Every problem and every need has been paid for now by Jesus Christ. We can have the atonement. We can be at one with God now. Our sins, our iniquities separated us, caused the weight apart, and God was holy, and we departed from that. Because of that, the ills of life entered in. The act of disobedience separated us. Let's be careful, if I can use the word disobey. He said, "Cast on me all your cares." Let's don't be disobedient to that. Let's don't try to work it out. Let's don't think that our comfort is going to have to come from our own resources. but recognize He is the God of all comfort. In turning from God, it cost man dearly. And it's still the same today. Adam and Eve's sin cost you and me. Did you know today, as we turn from God, and as we lean to our own understanding, as we fail to take advantage of the Holy Spirit that wants to live in us and dwell in us and reign in us, that we're putting ourselves at a hand. We're trying to be led by the divine and wanting to serve Him and want to be comforted by Him, but yet the power and the strength is not there, and it handicaps us. Being handicapped in the race will make you unhappy. And you'll see others do things, go on, and you can't do it. And you'll hear testimonies, and you're not there yet. By disobeying, by holding back, by not receiving the Holy Ghost, by not receiving the power and the Christ of God in our hearts, we're handicapping ourselves. And in so doing, as the joy becomes a burden, as the living for God becomes a labor, as we are discomforted by the tribulations and the trials of life and the disappointments, we'll begin then to hold back on God. And it'll take away from us. And it'll rob from us. And sin will find an occasion to enter into our life. We need the joy, the comfort of God Himself living in us, dwelling in us, empowering us today. Over in Psalms, the 46th chapter, in the first 5 verses, God is our refuge and our strength. I'm often amazed at myself how easy it is to run to our own understanding. Be careful. Be so careful. It's not in us to direct our paths. Oh, please, please hear this. We forfeit so much in our delay in turning things over to God. We suffer much, folks, from that. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Pretty awesome calamities here. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Though all the most adverse situations occur, then He begins to tell us why, and why we're not moved. And this is the message today. The God of all comfort, the source of living water, issuing from beneath the throne, from the sanctuary of God, coming down into your heart, into my heart. There is a river, the streams thereof, whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. There is, in all the perplexities and the accumulations of sorrows and hurts and pains, God is telling us, you can look on that and you can try to work that all out, and it'll seem like everything around you is falling. But He said, I want you to know something. I've got something for you. I want you to tarry in Jerusalem. I want you to be endued with that power from on high. I want the Comforter to come, not only to be around you in the same town, in the same neighborhood. I want that Comforter to come and dwell and be in you, a very present help in your perplexities of life. He said, there is a river, folks. I don't care what the devil tells you today, there is a river. There's a river that you and me can swim in. There's a river of pleasure and a river of joy. And it issues from under the and out of the sanctuary of the Most High God. May the Lord help us today. And right in this river is the presence of God. Or right in the midst of Jerusalem, the saint of God. Right there in the midst of all that we are, God is in the midst of her. and she shall not be moved. I don't want to be moved. We don't want to be moved away from the hope we have within us. Satan comes along and uses the things you and me do not understand to move us away. And we find places that we are discomforted. Our joy, our happiness is less than we know it should be. And we don't understand why. And we think it's someone else's fault. We may even want to blame God. Why doesn't He help me? Why doesn't He deliver me? He said, saints, there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. We need to go to that source of living water. And He said, God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. Lord, help us today to find the comfort of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost. It's Christ in us. He said it's the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Thank the Lord this morning that God has a holy place. And God wants that holy place to be in my heart and yours too. He wants all the world shut out. He wants that sanctuary in you and that sanctuary in me. From that sanctuary is the presence of God and the living waters flow forth to comfort me in my distresses, my sicknesses, my fears, my questions, my disappointments, and those things of my pride and my envy or any human emotion. God wants to come in and say, I've got something better for you. The strife that would want to mingle itself in your life. God's got something better than that strife. God wants to come in and clean out the temple and abide there. God wants to purge you and me and come and dwell there and be that source of living water, the God of absolutely all comfort. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, He said. If any man will open, He said, I will come in. Sup with him. Today, God's standing at our doors, and He's knocking, and He wants to come in. In Ezekiel, it talked about this river, and it said, everything that liveth, wherever that river came and touched, it would live. I look at it this way. God has created us to have life and to have it more abundant. We fall short of that as people, as a man, as a woman. In our own auspices, we fall short of that. We were intended to live. And I believe in part what the message of Ezekiel was, everywhere that river came, if life was intended to be there, that river touched, or they touched that life touched, they lived. The Lord is the author of life, renewed life. Our last scripture this morning comes down, last two scriptures actually, John 14. I want to read the first verse and go down a little further. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Paul said, wherefore, sirs, I believe God. Paul said he wasn't unfaithful to that heavenly vision. May the Lord help us this morning to believe God, to believe the Word of God, to believe the Spirit of God. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Then he directs us from that trouble to himself. Now let's go down to the 16th verse, 15th verse. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. What a blessing. What a blessing. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. When Jesus Christ went back to the Father, He did not abandon His church. His church is His body. His church is His beloved. And He told you and me, and John wrote it, that He would not leave us comfortless, and that He would come to us. He's still at the door today, folks. If we're discomforted, whose fault is it? Oh, I don't mean we won't have occasions to be. And I do not believe for a moment that we'll live in such a way, in a state, in an atmosphere that we're not touched by the pressures of life. I'm not meaning that. But for them to discomfort me, to move me away, to project me over into areas I have no business being in, to project me over into places where something else begins to reign in my life other than God. Fears and doubts and angers, questions and unbelief. I believe God, I know God by His presence is the God of all comfort. He said He would not leave us comfortless, but that He would come to us and He would, praise the Lord for this, dwell in us. Not somewhere else, not at a place of telephone calls, but a real everyday present in our heart. He does that through the Holy Ghost. He does that through the Spirit of God taking possession of a consecrated and a sold out vessel. A vessel that has given itself over to God by trust, by faith, by obedience, by the blood, and now the Spirit of God dwells there with power and glory and hope and with comfort. Able then not to say, well, I've got to travel 2 days to get to Jesus so I can cast on Him all my cares. But right now, right here, in this present evil world, in this circumstance, in this problem, in this place, I can cast on Him my cares and find the comfort because He's right here with me. I can say, talk to Him and receive the counsel. Last verse is in John 7. Clearly, God wants to live in us. He wants that river in us. He wants Himself in us. John 7 and 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, and I think we could list thirst as a discomfort, spiritually, physically, emotionally, we all get thirsty. So the Lord said, if any man is thirsty, He has something that's very precious to give us, folks. And this is who we're recommending to us all today. Let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly, his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water, healing waters, quickening waters, waters that bring life and answers, comfort, and joy. Waters that bring a renewing and a refreshing, guidance and wisdom. And he said, let him come to me. How many times have people put off coming to the Lord for a myriad of reasons? But it's always, folks, the self-life that is questioning the validity of the promises of God. It is always human understanding, with outside influences, no doubt, but it's always human uncertainty, human doubt, human wisdom that holds man at bay and at a distance from the promise of God. So Jesus said, if you're thirsty, put down all your other resources and come to me. Empty the wheelbarrow of life that you've accumulated, all your ideas and your thinking, all the injustices and all the hurts, All the things that you have clung to because you didn't know what to do with them, because you didn't understand the answer of God. All of us that labor, he said, if any man is really, truly thirsty, hurting, needing comfort, guidance, come to me. And I'll have something for him that out of him shall flow rivers, that comforting Zion, river that's in Zion, that issues from the sanctuary of God, from under the throne of God. And this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Not a question of can I, but it's a question of will I, because it's been provided now. I have found in my life, the more I work at trying to fix my life's problems, the longer it takes to fix them. The quicker I can go to the Lord and say, I've been wrong, it's my fault, I don't like it, I want you to take it. If I have to ask forgiveness, I have found the answers begin to appear. I have found the comfort is there. The Lord wants you and me to have the Holy Ghost. It's throughout the Bible. It was taught in the book of Acts. It was experienced by men of the church down through the ages. It was sought after, hungered for, prayed for, and it was sent from God. He speaks of the Holy Ghost as part of his identity that wants to live in us, reign in us, dwell in us, occupy us, possess us. He said, any man thirsty, come to me. Today, are you needing comfort? Am I needing comfort? The answer is not in myself or yourself. The answer is in the presence of God in our life. And not just with a head knowledge, and more really than justification. That's the first thing. Can't minimize that. But God wants to sanctify us. God wants to come and dwell right here in you and in me. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. This is before the death. This is before the resurrection. This is before Pentecost. May the Lord help you and me to recognize the God of heaven speaks about comfort. And he wants to comfort Zion. I believe as the scripture said, and the Lord will comfort Zion. May the Lord help us today to be comforted. But not with the comfort from this world or ourselves, but the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You pray for me.